Let us pray together. Jesus, we love you. We ask that you would be our teacher today. Give us a fresh vision of what it means to be thankful and to be a thankful steward over the good gifts that you have given us. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A.J. Jacobs, in his book, Thanks a Thousand, makes this observation. It's a Tuesday morning, and I am in the presence of one of the most mind-boggling accomplishments in human history. This marvel that I see before me is the result of thousands of human beings collaborating across dozens of countries. It took the combined labor of artists, chemists, politicians, mechanics, biologists, miners, smugglers, and goat herds. It required airplanes, boats, trucks, motorcycles, vans, pallets, and shoulders. It needed hundreds of materials: steel, wood, nitrogen, rubber, silicon, ultraviolet light, explosives, and bat guano. I had to look that one up. It relied upon ancient wisdom and space-age technology, freezing temperatures and scorching heat, high mountains and deep water. It is my morning cup of coffee. In the book, Jacobs tracked down every single person involved in the supply chain of producing his morning cup of coffee, and he set about wanting to thank each one of them. This took him across the globe and taught him that being thankful can lead to a fuller and more meaningful life. Today is a day when we give thanks. And our prayer book provides a beautiful prayer for today called the Collect for Thanksgiving, which I am using to structure my reflections this morning. The Collect for Thanksgiving, which you can find on page 5 of your worship bulletin, contains two things which I'd like to draw your attention to. First, a thanksgiving, and second, a petition. Earlier we prayed, Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season and for the labors of those who harvest them. When the collect invites us to give thanks to God for the fruits of the earth, it also implies that God is the source and sustainer of life itself. That's because food, which comes from God's creation, which comes from God, is the source of life. And we see this in the first chapter of the Bible. Having created the world, God gives Adam and Eve the fruit of the earth for their benefit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And of course, God declares it all very good. Food is a gift from God, and our life depends upon it. The Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann, one of my favorite theologians, partly because I love his name, Schmemann, wrote this wonderful little book called For the Life of the World. And he writes, man's life depends on food. Man receives food, that is life itself, from God. It is God's gift to man, and he lives not in order to eat and thereby to maintain his physiological survival, but in order to develop himself in the image and likeness of God. You see, there's a deep spiritual connection with our use and consumption of food. Now, I'm not sure that we often think about food this way, at least I don't. I think it's always helpful to pray before meals, though, as it really links those two realities together. Perhaps we don't think about food this way because food is so plentiful here in our culture. But of course, this isn't the case everywhere, nor was it always the case even in our land. In 1620, 102 pilgrims set forth from England to a new country in which to call their own, to begin a new life, and they got on this ship you know the story, called the Mayflower. 1 year later, there were only 53 of them left. Scurvy and disease had killed about half of their party. And after suffering every kind of hardship, a brutal winter, lack of food, their response was to set aside one day to give thanks to God. William Bradford, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, described it this way in his personal journal. He writes, "After we had gathered the fruit of our labors, in a more special manner, we came together to rejoice and to give thanks to God." Giving thanks in the midst of difficulties, you see, is the true test of gratitude. And it is the heart of the Christian life because it acknowledges God's goodness, His care, His grace, His compassion, regardless of our circumstance. The author in Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge writes, "The life of thankfulness, biblically speaking, is lived in a view of hard things of existence. As the life of thanksgiving deepens, we discover the more mature prayers of thanksgiving are not those offered for the obvious blessings, but those spoken in gratitude for obstacles overcome, insights gained, lessons learned, for increased humility, for help received in time of need, for strength to persevere, for opportunities to serve others." St. Paul wrote something similar in Philippians chapter 4 when he reflects about learning the key and the secret to Christian contentment in life. He writes, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength," Paul writes. For Paul, you see, the secret to being content is a robust recognition of God's grace in our lives. It begins and ends in thanksgiving. Not only do we thank God for the fruit of the earth, but we also petition God to make us stewards. And this is the second thing that we see in our collect on page 5. "Make us, we pray, faithful stewards of your great bounty for the provision of our necessities and for the relief of all who are in need." And by the way, I just want to say, you know, it's okay to ask God for things. No, we don't want to treat prayer like a genie bottle. But the scripture says this over and over again. It's okay to come to God and to plead with God, to petition to God, to take action to the world, and even to make changes in our own life. When Jesus' disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he answered, giving them the Lord's Prayer, which contains 6 petitions. The petition in our collect is simply that God would do something to us, that He would make us into faithful stewards over the resources that He has given us. There's a missional component to our stewardship over the resources that God has given us, and by this I simply mean that God wants us to use our gifts, our skills, our resources in order to continue His mission to beautify the world and to serve others. Even in the beginning, back in the garden, the mandate was to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth and to subdue it. This is a mandate that continues even today to use our gifts, our resources, and creativity in such a way that beautifies the world and brings blessing, the Hebrew word is shalom, to others. We get a glimpse of this sharing of God's bounty in the very first Thanksgiving, almost 400 years ago. In the fall of 1621, only 11 months after the Mayflower had landed in Massachusetts, about 100 Native Americans from the Poconokets tribe arrived in the Massachusetts Bay settlement with 5 freshly killed deer. The English settlers responded by adding wild geese and ducks, which they had shot with their guns, along with corn and squash, which they had just harvested. The image is one of a feast of people gathering around a table, but also one of mutual sharing of God's bounty. Nathaniel Philbrick, the author of a wonderful book called The Mayflower, actually have a signed copy of this book that my father-in-law gave me, captures the essence of this first Thanksgiving when he writes, "There were profound differences between the Pilgrims and the Pokanokets, to be sure, especially when it came to technology, culture, and spiritual beliefs. But in these early years, when the mutual challenge of survival dominated all other concerns, the two peoples had more in common than is generally appreciated today. For the Pilgrims, some of whom had slept in a wigwam, and all of whom had enjoyed in eating and drinking with the Indians on that first Thanksgiving, these were human beings, much like themselves. Seeing others, especially those that are different from us, as created in God's image, is essential if we are to bless others through our stewardship, through our gifts, and our creativity. It tears down all humanly constructed walls of separation and invites us to share in the enjoyment of a mutual life together so that we can come together as a people, especially Christians, and pursue human flourishing. As we gather today, remember, as our colic reminds us, to be thankful for the bounty, for the good gifts that God has given us, a bounty not only experienced by the wonderful food that we eat today, but also the abundance of grace which our Lord has bestowed upon each one of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we express our deep gratitude today, let us be bold at asking God to work in us, to make us into better stewards over the gifts that He has given us, so that other people might be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.